Robin Williams runs an island, Meg Ryan is under fire, and Owen Wilson moves in with Matt Dillon this week on 30-2010.
30-2010, here we go again. Analyzing decades, sitting with our friends, those were different days. And there's so much to say.
Welcome back to, man, I just, you guys missed an epic wave of sneezing.
I only sneeze in trios and quartets for some reason.
I either like Green Day or...
Achoo, achoo, achoo.
This is your weekly look back at what happened in movies, music, TV, and every so often video games and comic books, and sometimes wrestling.
not this episode.
It doesn't happen often. But that means looking back 30, 20, and 10 years ago, that's 1986, 1996, mm-hmm. and 2006. I'm one of your hosts, Brett Elst.
Christopher Antiston.
Danny Goodman.
I'm Dave Pree. Dave Rudden.
Sorry. What does that mean?
Well, you'll find out in 30 years. 20 years.
20 years. We usually start with a little bit of news. July 9th. This is an important note. This is July 8th to the 14th, the range that we are working in. So this episode posts at the end of a given week. Mm-hmm. We're going to look back at the week we have all lived through 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
July 9th, 1986. New Zealand legalizes consensual sex between men 16 and older.
Hey.
Well, and yeah, it shows how ahead of the curve they are over there. Like
86,
yeah, like that. Gay sex was legalized in New Zealand 30 years ago, and it's still a topic of contention in America. It's kind of like,
only says men here.
I looked that up. It seems like it also encompasses lesbians, even though the language of the law is. Men, but
no one's got anything against the old box eating.
Yeah. Glad we're all present. But yeah, I mean, sorry. I don't have anything else about this.
Movies this week. I'll be up front with you guys.
What?
This is, of all the episodes we've done, this seems like a light one.
Ooh.
We'll see. We'll see
why
as we go.
Excited?
Who will derail this show the most?
I could.
Club Paradise.
Club Paradise. Let me hear that trailer.
Oh.
This summer, make your escape to Club Paradise.
I say let's go.
All right, we're going.
Just getting there is half the fun.
I made it!
Remind me to get a new pilot.
So join your host, Robin Williams.
Oh, bye.
I'm Island Jack.
And what island are you from?
Ellis, originally.
With...
it's kind of an ensemble.
I saw Eugene Levy in there.
Yeah, like Rick Moranis and Eugene Levy play a duo of nerds who stumble upon a garbage bag of marijuana on this island. It's kind of a branching stories of a bunch of crazy white people from SCTV who end up on an island run by Robin Williams. I've seen it so many times. Against my will, but about the time I was getting into movies, Robin Williams was probably the biggest movie star in the world.
Yeah.
And this is the one movie that everybody could afford.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't get Hook, can't get Good Morning Vietnam, you can't get Aladdin, but Club Paradise.
Is this kind of his bachelor party from Tom Hanks, where it's like, this is too raunchy for you?
No, this is actually during his slump. Like when he started to, like, there's that movie where he plays football, and According to Garp, which is great actually. But but this is when his star was really hot, and he kind of made some bad choices.
Okay.
And this is just an underwhelming Robin Williams movie, but directed by Harold Ramis. After John Landis dropped out, who I constantly confuse with one another, Bill Murray was supposed to be in the Williams role. That's why it's written by Brian Doyle Murray. Everybody from Caddyshack except Bill Murray, essentially. And it has a story credit. I looked at this. Ed Roboto, which is
a
pseudonym for one Harry Shearer, who wrote the movie, hated it, and asked that his name be removed. But it's awesome. In the original trailer, just story by Ed Roboto. That guy sounds amazing. He should write everything.
It seems like one of those things where it's like people always say no good movies are filmed in Hawaii because the whole cast and crew is just on vacation. This seems like the epitome of that.
What about 51st? Oh, no.
Mm. Yeah. But, I mean, because it's such a great cast. You got Rick Moranis. You got Twiggy, Adolph Caesar, Eugene
his
Levy.
Last movie.
Joanna Cassidy, Andrea Martin, Brian Doyle Murray. Brian Doyle Murray, Joe Flaherty, and for some reason, Jimmy Clift and Peter O'Toole.
Yes, I read because John
Jimmy
Cleese.
Cliff is
John
awesome.
Cleese wouldn't do it, and so Peter O'Toole. John Cleese was bigger than Peter O'Toole in the early
80s. Yeah, those are some rough years, honestly, for Peter O'Toole.
I was going to counter the Hawaii claim with Forgetting Sarah Marshall, but nobody remembers that movie anymore.
I think that movie's fantastic, actually.
It? That's no, one of the, I love that movie.
That's one of the most accurate depictions of me being broken up with I've ever seen on screen.
Oh, wow.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall. But yeah, the Club Paradise was that was about it. That was during a weird dry spell in Robin Williams' otherwise very successful career.
They were still all in the glow of the Statue of Liberty being rebuilt.
Yes, so exactly. Like,
let's
had
just stare at this
movies.
For the next week.
I just love the last two 86 movie trailers we play, and I did it on purpose. Is I love that I never see anybody do that anymore. This summer, like just you're very sure about this in the VO. It's definitely happening this summer. Jack Burton or this summer, Robin Williams.
And there's, well, it's those old trailers that are 2.5 minutes long, but also tell you. People complain now. Oh, the trailer shows you the whole movie. It's like, well, before it was like
they used to be way longer.
They would be longer, and they would explain like verbally via narrator, not letting the movie even tell you what it's about. It would be vignettes from the movie with a guy going, and it's great.
it's
what a journey,
a tour de force of the summer. I watched. I love the movie Pathéon, Diana. Have you ever seen that? It's fucking great. It has a trailer on the DVD. It's like 4 minutes, and not only does it show everything, there are like scenes. That's just a 2-minute scene from the film.
Pathéon.
Well, that's pretty much it for movies this week. We're kind of in between. Next week, we got a big one coming out that you'll see. And then the prior weeks, we've talked about Karate Kid Part 2.
Yeah.
We talked about Labyrinth. A lot of stuff has been happening.
Yeah, again, but this is 86. There's not a giant glut of endless entertainment. Yeah. It was literally just nothing this
There's
week.
There's no internet. School's out. TV is boring, as we're about to find out. And it's like, what do you do? Go paint a fence.
Yes. The most popular movie this week was The Grand Canyon. That's what everybody was watching.
We're all going to the Wisconsin Dells. TV this week, David.
Yeah, so I think because we're fresh off of 4th of July, there's still very patriotic stuff going on television, which includes The Burger Years. It was to celebrate the bicentennial of the U.S. Constitution. Retiring Supreme Court Justice Warren Burger talked about constitutional issues and his role as the chairman of the Commission on the Bicentennial of the Constitution. Can you imagine being a kid home from school and, like, this is what's on TV in the summer?
Yeah,
like,
I imagine you can develop a really ugly relationship with your television if that's what you keep coming home to.
Yeah, but it was CBS, so, like, I think back then it was like, this is the old person.
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite documentaries from last year, oh my God, what was it called? It was the Buckley Gore Vidal argument series, and it was just so novel that, like, ABC couldn't afford to cover a Democratic convention in the late 60s. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they just put Vidal and Buckley on to argue nine hours in a row. And the whole nation was compelled because I don't know, television was so young.
Yeah, and that's like Awesome Games Done Quick. Like where it's like
But that's at least political debate. This is a retiring Supreme Court justice, so he's got to be old. Like you rarely retire from the Supreme Court.
That's true.
Talking about the Constitution, a 200-year-old piece of paper. Yeah,
man, and it's gonna be hot as shit. It's the summer.
Yeah, you gotta stay inside.
And there's no video games coming out. So
it would have been a good time for a Simpsons clip. Burger, I believe, is what how Homer responds to hearing Warren Burger's
name.
Can he
be the same? That's Earl Warren. I keep making that same mistake. So on across the sea, where they don't celebrate the Statue of Liberty. There's one premiering show and one finale show on BBC that are the most BBC sounding shows ever.
I don't know, man.
On July 14, the premiere of Langley Bottom, a sitcom on the British channel ITV about a character named Bernard Cribbins, the actor's named Bernard Cribbins. He stars as Seth Raven, the city of Langley Bottom's local odd job man who makes sure he has a finger in every pie.
Oh,
a real Roger Dodger.
And then
Langley Bottom.
Then
the American version, by the way, was called That's Seth Raven.
Yeah. same night on BBC.
The architect of Langley Bottom.
same night on BBC, it was the final episode of Hell's Bells, a comedy about a clergyman and the wacky goings on at the clergy.
Wow.
This show sucks.
I sorry, the name escapes me, but the guy who played the main clergyman in Hell's Bells apparently made a career out of just playing, like, he's a priest on this show, he's a vicar on this show, and then graduated all the way up to clergyman.
I said this show sucks. I mean this episode of this
podcast. No, you know what I could do to pad it a little bit? Because this is the only thing that happened to me this summer of that year was the last time my parents took me to Disney World. Mm-hmm. And I'm from Florida, and it is agonizing how big a Disney fan I am. My parents didn't buy me much, but they bought me VHS tapes, and my dad and I think my mother hated Disney World, and they forced my grandparents to take me. So I've been to Disney World with my parents, living very close to it since 86.
Well, as the bigger Disney fan.
Yeah, what?
I spent a week there in 2013.
But this was...
Debate me about anything
in
the park,
Chris. Did you go to summer camp and like kids would just come back with like a shirt, and you're like, what is that? Where did you go? And it seemed like everybody in Florida was going to Disney World. And I'll call this the reign of Figment.
Oh,
Figment,
God.
The purple Imaginarium dragon. I love Disney dragons.
Well, I don't know. Well, the dragon's fine. It was like Epcot was like so much fun as an adult on the food, drink, wine, cheese side, where it's like, oh, dude, get hammered by 11 a.m. and then go to the Moroccan embassy fake out that's over there.
Well,
but then the other side was all this like infotainment, like Bill Nye and Ellen talking to you.
You told me that's still
it's
there.
Still there.
Bill Nye and Ellen. That's I don't know, like her first sitcom.
Yeah.
She's starting in her first sitcom then.
But yeah, and the Figment, some of the Figment stuff was still there.
No, they brought it back. It was absolutely retired. But I mean, around this time, like, that was really because there was the Honey I Shrunk the Audience experience. Honey I Shrunk the Kids had an exhibit that only recently closed down. But it was also like there was Disney World opening in Florida, but this was the period where Epcot was finding its legs, and it didn't know what to do with itself. Epcot, what's the acronym? Experimental Prototype.
City of Tomorrow.
City of Tomorrow. And it was Walt Disney envisioned it before his death as a place. No, I want a city where people live, and like we create efficient hubs of transportation and build. And so it lost that when he died. There was no one pushing for that. So that's why Epcot still has two personalities.
Yeah.
It's a look at.
It's like a figure eight, the right side of a figure eight, or an infinity symbol, I guess, because it's on its side. But like the right side is a giant lake, and surrounded, and the circle of the infinity oval is like little embassy-looking things of countries from around the world that are staffed by people from those countries, typically, and the food is from there. And the other side is weird rides that aren't rides and teach you this is how you would farm on the moon.
It's a world's fair. You love the 64 World's Fair. And
that's the beauty of it, boiling it down like that, Diana, is that Disneyland, California's Disneyland, made in 1955, but it was a prototype. The World's Fair is where all that started. That's where they built Small World. That's where Walt started building attractions and becoming obsessed with it. And Tomorrowland, even back then, was the... I want something that represents the future. Mm-hmm. This is the most expensive and ethereal version of the park, and it was done last, and it caused Disney to have to compromise and get sponsors, and that in Tomorrowland. So when
he
died,
Hall of Aluminum Fame.
Yes, and that's pretty much all Epcot is. Every ride that's not a country has a sponsor.
Yeah, there's a Chevy thing. That's
and it's
build your dream car from Chevrolet.
It's a little bit of a bummer. I love my pleasant memories of going in there because I love fewer versions of the future than what 1960 considered. Yeah. What we'd be doing. Just using cordless telephones on the moon. It'd be great. It'll be great. Mom will have a nuclear-powered oven.
Hey, see, when I was a kid, I went to Disneyland a lot because I lived right by Disneyland, and passes for locals were super cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we always made fun of Tomorrowland, the old Tomorrowland, before they did a couple different rounds of remodels.
It's
of like
still not done.
It looks so... It's like mid-60s land. It's so dumb. Yeah. And you know, now I feel so stupid that I said that because it's the best version of that future.
Yeah.
It's so...
You are
it
going...
still looks very futuristic. Even it's a retro future. And then they tried to redo it with like a Buck Rogers thing that they totally fucked up.
Yeah.
And then they tried to do it again and they haven't themed it right. And it's all still just a disaster now.
How about this? That is what happened this year that I know of in the Disney parks. And it's a big thing and a weird thing. There was one thing that closed down in the park that was... I vaguely remember, but I have an action figure from it. I still do, a little Disney eagle. Sam the Eagle, no relation to the Muppet character. But it was called America Sings, I believe the ride.
Oh, yeah.
One of the few rides that has killed one of the operatives.
It killed somebody in Disneyland. It flat out murdered her.
Yeah,
she was crushed to death.
She was crushed in a revolving door, but it was a bunch of animal robots who sang, patriotic songs, basically. A musical review back when that thing was almost not unpopular.
I don't want
to... You know what's happened to a lot of the things from America
Sings.
That's
what I'm getting to, because in 1986, the Song of the South opens. Mm. Or, no, that's like Splash Mountain.
Splash Mountain.
It is, even in 86 is a bizarre time. It either opens in 86 or the last year Henry and I saw Song of the South in the theater was 1986. They were still showing that in the theater.
It opens a couple of years from now, but they tore out a lot of the things from Erica Sings and put them in there.
Yes.
And then there's one that was a goose. Animatronic that got stripped of all of its stuff, so it was just the Robo Skeleton, and that was put into Star Tours, which I believe did open in 1986, and now he's just a little robot guy.
Yeah, so America's have, like, I know a lot of people haven't seen Song of the South, and for the sensitive among you, I don't necessarily recommend it. But if you've ever been on Splash Mountain, like, there are a shitload of robots in here. Did I miss this Disney movie entirely? Those are all animals from America Sings. That was, I think, basically corroding by the time, 86, when I was there. Mm. Anyway, this is all vague. It doesn't check out. But you know what? No one called. No one angrily messages you to correct you on bad Disney information. It never really happens.
So the one thing I found, just randomly checking Wikipedia, home video release of Spies Like Us, which came out at the end of 1985. I don't know if anyone has any memories of that we could...
It's bad.
I remember us all talking about Spies Like Us because it had a very famous gay joke. Two guys clearly fuck one another, and I don't think we'd seen that in the comedy. And I love this statement of mine because everybody, after that whole debacle of the interview a few years ago, everybody was really mean to the movie. I'm like, the movie's not great. But all it is Spies Like Us. It's exactly Spies Like Us. Kids will love it. It's worth rewatching. It has funny moments, but it's pretty dumb.
I feel like Spies Like Us is just the back half of Stripes.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I'd rather watch Stripes, dude.
Do you know Family Guy did a reunion Spies Like Us episode?
That's insane. All I remember about
and
it.
That's, and I'm done padding.
Well, I was just looking up. Apparently, the girl was crushed. America Sings hostess Deborah Gale Stone was crushed in 1974, and then the ride would fully close in 1988.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But it did close for a while and then open back up.
Yeah.
And then closed for
good. Yeah, it's a dump.
They've kept using that building over and over, too.
So how does that get around the nobody's ever died at Disneyland?
Disney?
That's a fucking lie. A ton of people died at Disneyland.
It is a lie. And
there's a whole list.
And but here's what's great, because most of the deaths occur in World during grad night when idiots jump a fence and drown in a lake because they don't know how to handle their liquor. But that has happened. What they've
tried... company line is like, well, they died at the hospital after.
That's right. They died in the hospital on the way to the helicopter. And if you've never seen a paramedic unit in Disneyland, they're all dressed like they're in a barbershop quartet, but they're holding a gurney. Like they look almost like just organic parts of the part.
I think the only death that Disney took like complete accountability for was Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
Yeah, someone snapped their neck, like,
and
on
they
the
closed
ride.
It, and it only reopened like last year, and it was closed for a long time.
Yeah, and there was someone like a cleat ripped off on the big ship and managed to actually hit a guy in the head. It's just incredibly bad luck,
man.
But usually, it's your own damn fault. Like the People Mover, bringing it back to Epcot, the People Mover killed a bunch of people because it had no way to stop. It's a constantly slowly moving thing, and so kids would, you know, usually teenagers on grad night would jump out and run over to their buddies and this other thing, and it doesn't stop.
No, this is
a
400-pound thing that's being pushed by a steel belt tire at high speeds. You cannot get in front of it.
No, it's at slow speeds. It's going like 1 mile an hour.
Yeah, but it's heavy as fuck.
But it's heavy as fuck, and it will not stop when it crushes you. Mm-hmm. And so, it's killed like 2 or 3 people.
Jeez. Man, this year, 2016, on California Screamin', the roller coaster, they had to shut it down because someone was trying to use a selfie stick on the roller coaster.
Idiot. What a fucking maroon.
Anyway.
What a maroon. You know what? They just closed down. I saw a tweet from Patrick Warburton.
Oh, no.
Soaring over California.
Oh, really?
Has been closed. I love that. I don't know why I love that thing.
I got so burned on that ride.
Sorry, Patrick. Now, that's what I was going to say. Tomorrowland, I would prefer it if it always was a visitable version of the Venture Compound from Venture.
Oh, wow. Yes.
That's what it is, essentially.
Yeah.
Like failed innovation from before we were born.
Yep.
And that's, I'll never not love Tomorrowland for that.
But taking us out of the 80s, which some of that we just discussed happened in the 80s, music, new album from Ministry, Twitch, Bob Dylan's quote-unquote worst album, Knocked Out Loaded.
Never heard it.
Ask
my dad.
Occasionally considered his worst album, yet paradoxically has one of what people consider one of his best songs.
Interesting.
It's 11-minute epic Brownsville Girl has been cited as one of his best songs, despite being on this album that is, like, not great.
Yeah, that's a pretty good song.
Yeah, sales considered weak, remastered in 2013, but it has songs like They Killed Him.
I just saw that.
Precious Memories. Mm-hmm. Chris Christopherson wrote They Killed Him. Ooh. Man, he does everything. Yeah. But I don't know any songs from this, but Big Country's third album, The Seer.
Seer.
But who cares? Because this is an excuse to play In a Big Country.
One of the best 80s songs ever made.
One of the most beautiful, absolute best 80s songs ever. And again, working in Toys R Us for 5 years through college, this is one of the few real songs that weren't about brushing your teeth or the wind. So anytime I would hear, yes, thank God. Yeah. This, you will not believe, we did a later time all about just the music I had to endure, but the fact that In a Big Country would sometimes be followed by Alice DJ, and I would be like, thank you so much, and I can't believe Better Off Alone.
Or John Lithgow singing about being in a bathtub.
fucking Barbie songs, Think Pink. Anyway, well, that was a Big Country, In a Big Country. When we come back, what happened this week in 1996?
You like Laser Time shows? Then you might like Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly bonus show exclusively on patreon.com/lasertime. Here's a taste of what you've been missing. Winnie the Pooh sang 420.
Now when Pooh heard his poo-coo clock, he knew it was time for something.
Oh yes, 420.
But his own clock is called a poo-coo?
A poo-coo clock. It is in the Kingdom Hearts video to that.
But that's so egotistical that you name your own appliances after you.
You're giving Pooh a lot of credit.
I already eat all my dinner out of the microwave.
That's usually what I get at a Chinese buffet.
I don't urinate in the crisp pot.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't. Get Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly, full-length, uncensored, and ad-free Patreon-exclusive podcast, as well as weekly full-length movie commentaries, wrestling and cartoon video commentaries, physical rewards, the first season of Talking Simpson, and more at patreon.com/lasertime, starting at just $5. You'll help us live, and we'll do our best to help you never be bored again.
What's its face?
Whatchamacallit.
Whatever it is, whatever it was. Chocolatey chocolate.
Whatchamacallit.
How's it go? Wowzamadoo. Chewgooey caramel.
Whatchamacallit.
Doohickeys. You know what I mean. Peanutty crispies.
Chewy, chocolatey, crunchy, hushy.
Too bad. It's Gittimery. More than a mouthful. It's
Whatchamacallit. Whatchamacallit.
Leanne Rimes, Blue. Bringing us into
it's
19,
a cover, right?
19. It is a cover of a Bill Mack.
She's singing about her favorite Jungle Book character.
Baloo.
It's a cover of 50 song by Bill Mack.
Oh my God. That's the wrong guy, right? I guess you could say that was a real Return of the Mack.
Yes. Wow, very good. But Leanne Rimes, first, I think, sang the song in 1994 when she was 13.
Wow. Yeah.
And then when this album came out, album Blue, which is out this week, which is full of, you know, a full album of songs. Now she's like 15
or
16.
What do you have to be blue about when you're 13 years old?
Well, she was plenty of things. Come on,
actually, yeah, come on, man. I lost all my Transformers, like guns.
My Digimon's broke, or I don't
even. But this was it. I remember I was in junior high when the first one came out in 94, and I remember it being, because my mom listened to country music every morning, and I remember hearing this every day in 94, and everyone just like, wow, can you believe this 13-year-old girl has this voice? This is insane. And it just being kind of big news for a while, and I don't know what she's up to now. But
she's still doing it.
I know this because she's in tabloids a lot, because I think people forget how young she was when she broke, because she... Look, is maybe kind of nutty behind the scenes, but is always somewhere in a bikini, and she looks fantastic.
I mean, she's
like,
our age.
Like, yeah, like, why does it, I think that baffles people. Why does this person from 20 years ago look amazing? Because like,
she was
really
13.
Young.
when you saw her, she was like 15 probably on the cover.
There was something about someone else's husband somewhere in
something
there.
Like that,
I don't probably. Know.
Tabloid stuff I barely pay attention to.
Literally, I only know that from the checkout one.
But I think her, I don't remember who sang it. The Con Air theme song, like "How Do I Live"?
Excuse me.
Oh, yeah.
Who actually sang that? How do I?
That's a Con Air theme song.
How do I live?
It's very emotional when you hear it.
But there was whoever, I forget who sang it, but I think her and Leanne Rimes both recorded versions,
right.
And they ended up going with the other one, not her.
Yeah.
I don't know why I remember this. We'll talk about Con Air in literally a year.
Oh, good.
Because we already talked about The Rock. also out this week, Building the Bridge, REO Speedwagon. Clinton would use songs from this during his re-election campaign later this year.
Okay. Keep on rolling.
Wow, such a good song. Prince, Chaos and Disorder. This is, reading the notes about this, mm-hmm. This is interesting because a 1996 Prince album, I have no memory of this whatsoever.
Sure.
Because his 80s stuff was what everyone really kind of remembers. Mm-hmm. Apparently released solely for contract obligations because he was still angry with Warner Brothers about the record deal, didn't like any of it. Mm-hmm. He didn't promote this album, did nothing for it.
But that's what the artist formerly known as Prince stuff came from.
Right.
He wanted to record
the
stuff he likes on a different label and just changed his name to a symbol.
Yes. I love watching the internet try to deal with that.
Yeah.
Like, it's like parentheses Prince or something. Like,
it's great.
But you don't have an ASCII character for that symbol.
I think someone just incorporated it into webdings.
No, I remember, I think right when Prince passed away, people were remembering that, Warner Music had to send out, like, floppy disks.
Wow.
With just
wow.
that symbol that people could add to, like,
wow.
WordPerfect.
Wow.
That's
great.
They could use it.
Microsoft works. Soul Coughing's Irresistible
Side.
Bliss, but not the Bus to Beelzebub, not that one.
Oh, okay.
That's an earlier one. Oh, I know what Soul Coughing.
I saw Soul Coughing twice in the same day. That's the only story I have about them. Somebody dropped out of a festival, the Horde Tour.
Oh,
if
sweet.
Anybody remembers?
Yeah.
Headlined by Neil Young and Crazy Horse, who I believe we mentioned last episode, and Toad and the Wet Sprocket. It was a long time ago.
Wow.
But somebody canceled, and Soul Coughing's like, we're just going to cover for them, so someone's going to play and we'll come back out and do anything you want. And they played twice during the festival.
And they did all Weird Al covers. It was crazy.
Frank's 2000-inch TV.
And for the Canadian fans, I only wrote this down just in case you're in Canada. I Mother Earth.
Excuse me?
Album Scenery and Fish, their most successful album?
Man, relative to what?
Just in case that meant anything to anyone. news this week. This
Landscapes
again,
and Chicken. That's
July 8th through the 14th.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a big sports week, so fingers crossed I don't mess a single thing up. July 8th, Martina Hingis becomes the youngest person in history to win an adults championship at Wimbledon, because they also have younger matches there. But she won a doubles title. At age 15 and 282 days, teaming with, let me get this
name.
Is
there a record there? Is that why we're counting the days?
Yeah. Well, Helena Suková was her partner, but she won partners, women's doubles. So
I've never heard of Martina Hingis.
Yeah, she's one of the more famous.
Who the fuck named her? Steve Brühl? Hingis?
July 9th, National League won the Major League Baseball All-Star Game 6-0. This is notable because 1996, they won. They would not win another All-Star game against the American League until the year 2010.
Wow.
There is one year sandwiched in there where it was a tie because they ran out of players. But, National League did not do great in the All-Star game for quite a while.
Why is that, Dave?
What?
Why is that?
I don't want to say they're inferior because the Mets are in the National League. Because they win the World Series just as much.
Full stop. You're done.
Yeah.
You're done.
Well, there's also the designated hitter, which the National League doesn't use. So there's all that. Sadder baseball news.
Do you even lift, Chris?
No!
Kirby Puckett
Do you
retires.
Chew?
I knew that guy. Minnesota Twins.
Yeah, Kirby Puckett retires at age 35. He spent his entire 11-year career with the Minnesota Twins. Had a lot of success there. He holds a lot of their records, like most career hits, most career runs as a Twins player. Early in 1996, he woke up one day like blind in one eye.
What?
Yeah, and he never really got vision back, and he wasn't able to get back into playing shape due to that. So he retired at the age of 35. Mm-hmm. Was voted into the MLB Hall of Fame in 2001. However, after that, his life has became a little bit more rocky. He had weight struggles, and he also had groping charges levied against him, which kind of worked. Like, he
you
was,
get charged for that?
Yeah, also assault charges, too. But he was also doing, like, charity work at the time and community service, so it was kind of like a, well, who is the real Kirby Puckett?
He also, in the only person in history to be black and named Kirby.
Yeah.
It's true. I did all my fact checking.
I mean, what about when Kirby, like, sucks in, like, aren't there certain characters that would turn Kirby black?
No.
No?
I don't know. You'd probably never go back.
He also had a lot of hits in the 60s with his group, The Union Gap.
This is a joke I don't get, but I'm glad you're here, Diana.
Joke only for old people. It's Gary Puckett in The Union Gap.
But Kirby Puckett would die in March 2006.
He's dead?
Due to a stroke. Mm. Yeah. Well, he had terrible weight issues after he retired. Like, he was a big dude in MLB. And, like, not having a reason to work out, I imagine, and being blind in one eye, I imagine he probably, like, let himself go a little bit. Also this week, July 9th, the U.S. Senate approves a 90-cent raise to $4.25 as the minimum wage.
I can always use that as a milestone of how old I am, that I made $4.25 an hour on my first job at Wendy's, and it was I couldn't get enough hours in to make $100 a week after taxes.
That place,
by the way, McDonald's paid me more. $4.75 an hour.
Oh, nice.
And Wendy's requires you to actually know how to make a burger, whereas McDonald's you're a burger flipper. McDonald's will not trust you to flip a burger. There is a top oven that comes down on top of the bottom oven to fry it on both sides, so you never flip anything.
I'm opposed to that raise. It should have been 85 cents, so the minimum wage would have been $4.20, dog.
Yeah.
You know what I'm spending my McDonald's paycheck on?
That sweet Chiba Chiba.
Yeah.
I remember in 96, I was working a job that was minimum wage California, which I believe was $4.75.
Oh. Which
was up from $4.25 the year before.
How did anything happen? How would I ever buy any games? Jesus.
Yeah, I started at Toys R Us at $5.25, but this was in 99, so it was a few years later.
See why I made the decision to get a Saturn? I'm making this much. Got to get them cheap games.
Oh, boy. Movies this week. Only two, but one of these we mentioned earlier.
The White House has heard that we're considering the Medal of Honor for this chopper pilot who saved a bunch of guys on a downed Black Hawk. Naturally, they want it for Veterans Day.
Naturally.
It's a woman.
You didn't know?
This is Captain Karen Walden. She's the first woman in history to be nominated for a Medal of Honor for combat.
Yeah, I don't know. I got flooded with good memories when I was watching it. It is very much to me a Few Good Men ripoff. Like it's in the wake of that phenomenon.
Yeah, I can see this. So this is Courage Under Fire.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I like about it, it's a Rashomon movie.
Exactly,
that makes me happy. It's directed by Edward Zwick, reteaming with Denzel Washington. They did Glory together, which I just watched again on Memorial Day, and it was fantastic.
It's about Denzel Washington as a former combat soldier who has to defend Meg Ryan as a dead soldier and interview people who were in her combat camp, where I believe she was killed by her own men or something like that.
Well, they can't figure out who killed her, under what circumstance. Did she fuck up, or was it someone else's fuck up, or what
does
happened
she deserve
during
the Medal
the
of
first
Honor
Gulf War
and that I think only one woman has won this medal in real life and not for combat, for being a field physician. It's Matt Damon's biggest role, I think, right before he ascended to A-list star in Good Will Hunting.
He lost a ton of weight because he's got to be all junkied out at the end of it.
Yes.
And you see him and you're like, oh my God, you're dying. Because you're so used to Matt Damon looking, you know, very hale and healthy and buffed out. Like, not crazy buff, but like, obviously in great shape. And then you see him and you're like, oh my God, he's like a skeleton.
How about them apples? And my favorite, and I do remember this scene is they're questioning Lou Diamond Phillips, the asshole of the movie, the last big role I remember for LDP, and he drives this convertible right into a train rather than be questioned. Great scene. Great. I don't know if this movie holds up at all. I got a little curious about it because the Rashomon angle, like Meg Ryan is dead from the start of the film, and her story is only told through flashbacks.
Yeah,
people recounting their story.
Right, and every flashback is a little bit different based on someone's point of view. That's called the Rashomon.
I gotta see this just because Belky is in a war drama.
Yes, he is. Like, Bronson Pinchot.
Yeah. And actually, you know, someone, I'm not a fan of Meg Ryan's like romantic comedies, and I think she's really good in this, in that she's not cutesy Meg Ryan. She's, you know, fairly believable as
she's not magic pixie Meg Ryan.
Yeah, as being, you know, armed services Meg Ryan.
Right.
In charge of shit, god damn it, give me that gun. You're like, yeah. You go, Meg, right?
Adorable.
Also out this week, couldn't be further from that, is the very...
It's coming to video on February 25th.
Ignore that.
Ignore that part. I want
the VHS trailer, though.
At a great low price. Some kids collect insects. Others collect dolls. Harriet M. Wells collects... Secrets.
What? What was that?
Shake it up, take a sip, and...
Yeah, that's Rosie O'Donnell in...
Harriet the Spy.
Harriet the Spy.
The first Nickelodeon film.
Yeah.
And if you were lucky enough to see it in theaters... You saw a pilot that wasn't aired on television for a show then called Arnold, but became Hey Arnold. I think that was probably part of Disney's decision to make a movie, because they didn't do it again for a little bit, I think, until like a surefire hit like Rugrats. Because I thought Harriet the Spy, it got okay reviews. I think it was kind of a bomb. But the book is beloved. Nona Mecklenburger, as I know her from Pete and Pete, Michelle Trachtenberg, you may know her from Eurotrip, or as Buffy's fake sister. Yes, Harriet the Spy, everyone.
How many years later was Eurotrip that we went from, like, oh, she's this adorable little girl solving crimes to, okay, so 8 years later, so it's that not that creepy, but like Eurotrip, I remember the ad being like, Michelle Trachtenberg in a bikini.
I can't think of a lot of things like that where I did grow up seeing her just be this adorable girl who's younger than me to being sexualized in a movie. That was very strange.
I like her with a lot of clothes on, like especially a cast.
A cast. She's got to have the cast on. Nona Mecklenburger.
TV this week.
Pete and Pete?
Yeah.
No.
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
Surely not.
That's what Nona Mecklenburger's from. Her dad was Iggy Pop. That show was so great.
Woo! So yeah, TV this week. Again, we're going to get some finales getting burned off. Pilots that never worked out. July 8th, final episode of L.A. Firefighters, which it was Fox's attempt to capitalize on NYPD Blue, Backdraft, but also it's got that Fox taste to it.
Oh, yes.
It's ribald, I'm sure.
L.A. Firefighters, a new drama that takes a brutally honest look at life in the firehouse.
This used to be a great department, so they started shoving the women and the colors down our throats.
Every day, the men and women who work here put their friendships to the test.
You sucker punch.
Hey, could have caved your skull in for all I care.
Come on, I wasn't doing anything wrong.
Bill, I've been protecting you since we were kids. From here on in, you're on your own.
And put their emotions on the line.
God. Yeah.
Have you checked the cast on this? Anybody notable hiding in there?
Some of them looked slightly familiar, but nobody like super famous. Yeah. But also this week, Fox aired the final episode of American Gothic. I know there's a new American Gothic, but this old American Gothic starred Gary Cole, who was a Lumberg from Office Space and plays a villain a lot.
And Harvey Birdman.
He starred as the evil sheriff of a town with supernatural powers of persuasion. His main antagonist was his son, who's played by Lucas Black, better known as the lead in Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift.
This is a busy year for that guy.
Yeah. He has a lot of good
stuff. No, this was 1996. So
he has a lot of good stand-up, though.
What?
That's Lewis Black.
That's Lewis Black, you motherfucker.
July 14th, the season finale of Muppets Tonight.
So
the last episode that ever aired on ABC. After this season, they had one that aired on the Disney Channel. But the season finale had a celebrity appropriate of the occasion. Martin Short. This is one of his famous characters on Muppets Tonight.
God, just the paused thumbnail on this is already making me angry.
Dear Edgar. Your great-uncle Balfour, from Canada, has departed his eternal reward, leaving you the sum of $85 in Marseille, Canadian, no less. P.S. You won't get one red cent unless you've been married by 6 p.m. 6 p.m.? Oh, give me a break. It's 5 to 6 now. And I'm as single can be, you know. What to do? Oh, the doorbell. Gee, I love the ring of a doorbell. There's always... Well, I've covered that.
Hello. Young swinging bachelorette who just moved in upstairs.
Talk about luck.
Jesus.
But if you ever wanted to see, what was it, Ed Grimley and Miss Piggy in the same scene, that show gave it to you.
That is officially my favorite crossover that's ever happened. this is, and also the...
And I've seen Alf Meet the Ninja Turtles.
First and not the last instance of Disney trying to buy the Muppets, only to cancel them. Yeah. What was the point of this?
But earlier shows, we did talk about Muppets Tonight.
We did.
And its many great musical numbers.
Our YouTube channel has a perfect Kermit the Frog Talking Heads. Yes. Once in a lifetime. So great.
Final episode of The Last Frontier was on July 8th. This is a real, like, snobs versus slobs show. A wealthy woman moves to Anchorage, Alaska with three male roommates who are not as classy as she. but you want the real foxiness of 1996. Oh, yeah. This is a rerun, granted, but still. On July 14th, Fox rerun Why Planes Go Down. featuring a famous narrator who probably...
He just comes out and says, well, gravity. Hello. Credits.
That's Gremlins.
We've established this. But yeah, this notable narrator.
Hello, I'm Gillian Anderson. I have to tell you, at first I was a little hesitant about hosting this program because I tend to be a nervous flyer. But we hope that the information in this hour will forever change the way that you travel on commercial aircraft.
What are you going to do? What
This is the period where Fox was definitely like, he thought he could get away from the long arm of the law.
This guy thought he could steal a lawnmower and get away with it. Now he's mowing lawns on Rikers Island.
This lady was feeding a deer, and the deer didn't like it and is punching her in the face.
I was at an age where I had a girlfriend who wanted me to go out a lot, and like, fine, I'll go outside and hang out with people. But we will not leave until we watch whatever Fox has on Friday nights, which is all like planes crashing and cars breaking.
This plane thought it could take off on an icy path.
Well, also the whole like magician's secrets revealed.
Yeah. He could invade Poland.
With Mitch Pileggi. Like they got two different X-Files people.
Yeah, when I watched that for the first time, she's like, at first I was hesitant. I was like, because you're Gillian Anderson and you're better than this? But no, it's because she's scared of flying.
I like the music behind it is so tense. It sounds like the kind of music you would put behind like a magic show.
But it makes a little bit more sense that it first aired, I think, in like 1994 when like X-Files was just starting. And it's like, hey, Mrs. Anderson, your show that is new and is not doing super great, please do this, and it'll be it'll be a feather in your cap and something that we'll consider when upping your show.
Wow. Yeah, it'll be $5,000, and you only have to show up for one day. Yeah.
This looks like sub PS1 level polygons in this.
This spine-chilling recording.
There's an airplane that looks like the gummy ship from Kingdom Hearts.
It's being rushed to takeoff before they're ready.
Oh, it's like several triangles, I promise.
And that's it for TV shows of the week.
Mm. And there are still no video games out in 1996.
It's the summer.
July 96, not a lot happening. So we talked about Knights last episode, the Sega Saturn game. The U.S. is in between this period of like Japan is starting to get stuff like Nintendo 64 is out. Mario 64 is out.
So weird.
The PS1 is out and has made some strides, but it's not like totally caught on in the U.S. It's not a slam dunk just quite yet. The battleground of 96 video games is actually quite large, and beginning in August we'll have Knights, and that'll lead to Mario, which leads to Crash Bandicoot. Tomb Raider's in there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff that gets going, but right now...
But that was still Japan setting the bar, but it's just weird to think that why was Japan releasing all this stuff in the summer and nothing here? Like they seem to acknowledge this as the big time for games.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know anything about the Japanese school year. All I know is that they're graded with S ranks.
And since we did talk about the season finale of Muppets Tonight, let's go out with the aforementioned Kermit singing the Talking Heads. Look at our YouTube
page. The wheel
page.
Of a large automobile.
This is the listening to it's one thing. You must watch the video.
It's great. YouTube.com/Laser10Network.
Letting the days go by, letting the water hold me down. Letting the days go by, water flowing underground. End of the blue again, after the money's gone. Once in a lifetime, water flowing underground. And you may ask yourself, how do I work this? And you may ask yourself, where is that large automobile?
Mr. and Mrs. Internet and all the ships at sea, this is Diana's Classic Corner. We look even further back in time this week to see if there's some classic movies worth a watching. 75 years ago this week, in 1941, not much. The Bride Came COD with James Cagney. I admit I have not seen that. It sounds silly. 50 years ago this week, in 1966, we have A Man and a Woman by Claude Lelouch, which I have seen. it's very pretty, and it's also kind of boring. Like, not a lot happens, but it's like, if you think about almost parodies of French movies, it's sort of that. It's like there's a lot of staring longingly, not saying anything, and then drinking, and then that's about it. But also 1966, July 14th, there is Torn Curtain by Alfred Hitchcock, starring Paul Newman. Is the background on the movie is a little bit more interesting. It's his last movie with composer Bernard Herrmann, who did the scores for, I mean, all of the scores you think of with a Hitchcock movie, you know, Psycho, North by Northwest, Vertigo, all amazing. They ended up kind of having like a little frenemy breakup type thing because Hitchcock wanted to have this murder scene totally silent. You have the actual sounds of a guy getting slowly strangled to death, and Bernard Herrmann wrote this really cool score for it, and then they fought, and then Bernard Herrmann walked. So the Torn Curtain isn't really good. I mean, we're into very late period Hitchcock here, so I'm going to recommend I think his last fantastic movie, which is Frenzy from 1972. This is a kind of a rough movie. There's some really graphic violence and nudity and just terrible things happening, but it is so good. It's a really good, creepy serial killer movie. Frenzy, 1972. I highly recommend it. And that's it for this week. Stay classic.
Tom York's.
I cannot believe this is 10 years old.
Black Swan.
Yeah.
This is Tom York's solo album of Radiohead fame. Mm-hmm. But this song, I believe, was in A Scanner Darkly in the credits. We talked about A Scanner Darkly briefly last episode during its limited release in July of 2006, which is the year we are currently discussing.
Yay.
We're in 2006 already?
Yeah.
It happened so fast.
New albums also this week from Lily Allen and All That Remains and a Third Eye Blind collection.
Hey, collection? Yeah. Get over yourself, Stephen Jenkins. Semi-Charm Life or GTFO? Maybe Jumper. The San Francisco's own Third Eye Blind, by
dude,
the way.
How's it going to be?
Dude, I'm not messing. I really love that album.
It's good.
I can go deep on whatever album that album's called. Motorcycle Drive-By? You want me to do the whole song? I can do it.
White People Slow Dance?
Is that a real song?
I'm just assuming that's what the album's called.
Sad High Schooler.
But getting in the news really quick for this week in 2006, July 9th, Italy wins the World Cup.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Diana, this is one you threw in there.
Hey.
I did throw this in there. Italia. This was fun. Actually, I went to a bar that was doing a barbecue out back, so it was a lot of fun. But it is very notable for what happened towards the end of the game. It was France versus Italy. It was a really good game. It was really evenly matched. And then there was an incident with Zinedine Zidane, who was a star French player who was retiring. This was his last thing. And it was like, can he go out on having, you know, a World Cup win? And we found out what happened later. A guy was pulling on his shirt. And after games, they, like, trade shirts. That's, like, a thing. So this guy was pulling on Zidane's shirt, and he said something like, if you want my shirt so much, I'll give it to you after the game. And apparently the guy said something to, like, I'd prefer your sisters.
Oh! And this guy in Italy!
And Zidane just is like, oh, is that so? And just turns around and headbutts him. Oh. Really
now
hard.
I remember. Now I remember.
I believe it hits him in the chest. And I went down a weird rabbit hole the other night because I remember hearing...
You're breaking my face, I'll break your face.
I remember hearing a great French rap song about it right after. Because he got sent off, and when you get sent off in soccer, you don't get to replace anybody. Yeah. You got to play a man down.
That just happened in the Copa thing with Messi and whatnot.
Yeah, so you get a power play like you do in... hockey. Mm-hmm. So Italy ended up winning. And it was such a tight game up till then. And there's a... I could not find it. My French is not strong enough to find it. But I remember this... rapping in French sounds hilarious, by the way. But it's just, you know, it was like, a coup de la tête! A coup de la tête! Which is just, you know, like, hit him with your head, hit him with your head.
Wow. I remember this happening, like, despite not following the World Cup, but I remember
the headbutt.
This was huge news.
Well, yeah, that became a meme.
And everything. And then also... That Zidane?
Zidane.
It looks like Zidane, which is the character, the main character of Final Fantasy IX.
Huh.
And it was the only time I'd ever seen that name. And I'd always pronounce
it
Zidane.
You see it twice in a row. Yeah. Basically.
Basically. But I always pronounce it Zidane because it's Midwestern, nobody, and no one. They don't speak the name in FF9, so. But I guess it could be Zidane. It'd make more sense in Japanese as well than Zidane. Yep. But anyway.
So the rest of the news is even more violent and more depressing.
Oh,
train bombings in Mumbai, India killed 209 during rush hour. Yeah, there's a lot.
Chris Tucker movie?
Yeah, like, this is one of the depressing things about, like, collecting the news is, like, oh, is there bombing this day? There's bombing this day. There's bombing this day.
And the sting is not as much off these bombings in 06.
Yeah, this one, like, I remember hearing about. Yeah. Like, yeah.
I just remember looking and thinking, is this going to keep happening?
Yeah.
And it turns out, yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Fewer people died for this, but Red Button died that day.
Red Button died.
Red Button and 209 other people. But
I love the notes. Everything about wait, what? Hang on, what is Red Button?
Red Buttons was a comedian, comic actor,
old timey comic actor.
I gotta describe to you what's in the doc. So not only is the word skippable in all caps,
because I thought because a person dying, especially like him at an old age,
sure.
Is it really news? But then I just thought like I can't go past that pun. I can't not make the pun.
So giant skippable, as if this isn't that important. Red Buttons dies. Parentheses, more like Dead Buttons. A joke for no one.
A joke for no one but the people looking in the dock.
Yeah.
He was great as a drunken Pete Dragon. Wait, no, he just got drunk in one scene. But
did he look at the bottle?
He's in Poseidon Adventure.
Yes, he's in Poseidon Adventure.
Did he look at the bottle and like shake his head and throw it away?
It's like you're writing the imaginary dragon
also,
Disney movie.
Did his mom name him like when looking into the hallway of the hospital? Like, oh shit, what do I... on the guy in the suit. Red Buttons.
Red Buttons.
it's probably something he earned in clown college.
Yeah.
Movies this week. A duo of comedy greats.
And to finish the job.
Got the diamond? Had to ditch it.
Now what? We go get it.
He'll have to hide out.
I got a plan, yo.
Go get it.
In someone else's crib.
Honey, look.
Oh my God. It's a baby.
Anybody get it yet?
Jesus. Oh, yes.
Little man.
Yes, the fifth best Wayans Brothers movie.
Wow.
Oh, poor Kerry Washington.
If you want to see how bad
Kerry
CGI
Washington
can age,
maybe can keep, she sort of keeps her dignity in that, God bless her.
I mean,
the effects in it are terrifying.
Yes, yeah. I have seen better fucking LeBron James memes on Facebook. Yeah.
Than
Marlon Wayans face mapping to this baby.
To fit better to our comedy wheelhouse, those Tim and Eric skits where like Patton Oswalt or Rainn Wilson play children, those are more believable than this movie.
I can't not think about that scene in Funny People where they just cut aside to Adam Sandler's baby. Mm-hmm. You were the one who wished for the wizard to make you young. I didn't mean this young. This is all this movie is.
Yeah.
It is a bad parody. Also, but it's also Tracy Morgan.
Tracy
Morgan in the film.
Was this before or after White Girls?
I want to say after because it kept escalating after that. Yeah. And was there any more? No, they just make those haunted house movies now.
Oh, it is so...
This is after White
Girls. So bad. It's so bad. This is one of these where I would go to my friend's house around this time every Sunday night. We watch a bad movie and then watch like random trailers and clips of good movies. Mm. And we... got it in our heads to watch all 5 Worst Picture Razzie nominees this year.
Wow.
And it was a hell of a year, and the weakest of the bunch won. I remember that this lost to Basic Instinct 2, which no one remembers.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Wicker Man was defeated by it. That's not fair. Wicker Man is a classic. But just watching this, I was hoping. I was like, maybe if I drink more, one of these jokes will hit. Maybe this will not be gross and offensive. Nope. Still gross and offensive and not funny.
I love how of all the movies he's directed, Keenan Ivory Wayans, this is the only one that would come up in 2010 years.
Oh, that sucks.
Because I'm going to get you suckers.
Love it.
88.
Love it.
A Low Down Dirty Shame, 94. And then he didn't direct another movie till Scary Movie.
Don't drink your juice in South Central while drinking your juice in the hood.
Not according
to this. I'll be a menace to South Central while drinking juice.
Not according to this list.
What?
But the other movie that came out this week that Dave bothered to watch.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I didn't know you were down here. I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's my fault.
What in the hell is
going
on?
Nothing.
Are you naked again?
No, it's fine.
We talked about this.
I know we did. Yes.
Everyone's asleep, and here's lonely old Dupree just wailing away on himself.
You're wailing away on yourself.
An animal wouldn't debase himself thus. What is...
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You mean Dupree. That is Kate Hudson catching Owen Wilson jerking
off. And Matt Dillon, too. So this movie is just so weird in, like... It came out in 2006, but it is very not of its time. Mm-hmm. So for one thing, a lot of the inconveniences in this movie would have been solved with cell phones, which were plentiful in 2006.
Yeah.
So the entire conceit is that Dupree's life falls apart because he went to Kate Hudson and Matt Dillon's wedding. He got fired from his job because he said they didn't get the email, and it's like, well, you could still talk to them. But then he moves in with Kate Hudson and Matt Dillon, the newlyweds, and basically he burns down the place halfway. He gets caught masturbating. He does a bunch of stuff. He accidentally shows Kate Hudson all of Matt Dillon's porn collection. And it's all VHS, which is, again, it's 2006. You could use your computer for this now. But it's also weird in that, it's directed by the Russo brothers.
That's crazy.
Who are now making,
recent
most
directors
of
Captain America Civil War,
yeah,
upcoming directors of Avengers Infinity War.
Some of the best Marvel movies and this was their first major motion picture. They had done one independent movie before that. But then after this, I think probably because of
the
experience.
Busted down to television.
No, I don't think they wanted to do a movie after fucking You Mean Dupree. Also weird, this may be one of the few movies... that Seth Rogen did that he didn't he wasn't a producer on or just did a quick cameo. He is basically Matt Dillon's best friend in the movie, mm-hmm. but it's so not like him because it's this movie is it's below you.
Have a hand in writing it, maybe?
No, I couldn't find any connection that he has. I think he may have actually
Judd Apatow putting him in everything.
I don't think so. I think
it's my favorite Seth Rogen appearance. That everyone forgets is there's that cutaway in Anchorman to them filming a pet fashion show, and he's just the camera guy and has two lines, yeah, like that. And yeah. Just because it's a Judd Apatow production, he just got done with Freaks and Geeks, threw Seth Rogen a bone, he's in that movie for 2 seconds.
Yeah. Also, Matt Dillon, leading a movie in 2006 even seems you were done 2 decades earlier.
This is cashing in off a Crash. Because Crash really? All of a sudden was like, oh shit, that's right, he's good, we can put him in things. And
from Academy Award to catching Owen Wilson jerking off into a cell.
He's a viable guy, we can put him in this movie that needs a guy.
A stem cell attractive male lead. I was going to attribute it to there's something about Mary, because I thought he was brilliant
before.
Casting in that as kind of because he was a terrible, serious actor.
When is that? 99?
97.
Oh, golly.
I think. And he's great in that film because he's playing a kind of a straight-laced guy reading comedic lines straight. Facedly, it's good. And then after that, Matt Dillon is in a bunch of terrible comedies because he's not that funny. One Night at McCool's? No one?
No one?
Drowning Mona?
No.
Is that him?
Also, Michael Douglas is Matt Dillon's father-in-law in the movie. But it's just, it's not a good movie.
I'm just looking at the Russo brothers, they do this, and then... Community, obviously, they're all over that, but I didn't know they... maybe I knew and forgot, but they both directed the Arrested Development pilot.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then individually numerous episodes of Arrested Development, and obviously they're all over Community.
Some of the best, and it is a weird pathway to that, to some of the biggest serious films in the universe.
Yep. Joe directed an episode of Agent Carter. I didn't remember. Mm-hmm. I didn't notice
that's
that.
Cool.
But yeah, that's really for movie. Little Man and You, Me, and Dupree.
These are bad times. Dark times.
Dark times. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You could go see Pirates, Dead Man's Chest again.
There you go.
Yeah.
We talked about that last week.
I think that's part of why they're staying out of its way, and they're also sort of counter-programming.
Yeah, and it would go on to make $1 billion.
Am I crazy? Does it seem weird now? When was the last time any of us went to the theater to see a comedy?
Amy Schumer one.
I saw it. I can't wait to see this when it comes on my TV.
I saw Bridesmaids in the theater.
That's one of the last ones for me. Yeah. Almost 5 years ago.
If it isn't anchored by
Pixar,
someone who's got a sterling record came from SNL, then I probably won't go see it.
Ghostbusters. That's the one I'll be seeing while you're listening to this and not complaining about it.
TV this week.
Mm.
Pretty light week. July 8th. Finale of Blowing Up, a full reality show starring Jamie Kennedy. This was off of the success of Malibu's Most Wanted, I believe it's called.
The success, really?
The
I mean, somebody made money.
Yeah. based off the existence of that movie, let's say. But yeah, it's Jamie Kennedy in a reality show, so I like those are both usually poison to anybody's ears. And July 10th, VH1 premieres the World Series of Pop Culture, which is basically it's the natural evolution of like VH1 is the I love the 80s, I love the 90s, best week ever.
What the fuck?
Now it's like
this?
Let's make a game show out of it.
I loved Rock and Roll Jeopardy.
Yeah, but this ran for I think 2 seasons. But yeah, it was a bunch of like pop culture nerds in a like group answering. It's pub trivia, the TV show, I would say. But reading this, it's like, why isn't this around now? Because
why don't we make it?
Yeah, we should.
Maybe VH1 wanted to have an hour long show that looked back what happened every week 30 years ago, 20 years ago.
I bet they did until they discovered Flava Flav. What the hell is airing on VH1 right now?
But
I gotta go to their website.
But all those people must want money.
Hootie and the Blowfish, I'm gonna say.
How about whatever you were gonna pay them, I'll take half of that.
Exactly.
Half.
Maybe less.
Games this week, finally, something about video games. 2006. Nothing. Well, so two things happened. One, what? Chrome Hounds came out.
Chrome Hounds.
So, couple things. This is From Software. And it's who makes Armored Core, and most now everyone knows them for Demon's Souls, Dark Souls, Bloodborne, and all that. But they were still very big on their, giant mechanized war games. And Chrome Hounds was one of the first Xbox 360 games I remember, reviewing. And I think it was the first Sega game that I actually reviewed and had a copy of.
So vague.
It's really weird. And it's called Chrome Hounds. And the big thing that they were pushing was this idea of through the power of Xbox Live and the 360, there'll be a persistent war state online with these roving on treads and legs of
E3 hard on. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, of people will just always be battling for territory, and the lines will change, and the battle lines will go, and the territory will ebb and flow over time. And of course, that didn't really take off because not that many people had 360s, and this is still pre Wii, pre PS3.
It's pre Gears of War.
It's pre Gears of War. So there's no, it's pre Crackdown. There's no, Oblivion was out. That was probably the biggest 360 game out at the time. Elder Scrolls.
Yeah, it's shitty because that's why we don't see a lot of early support for new consoles now because I was watching Sega and Capcom putting out great games with there's no one to buy these yet.
Yeah.
And they just die.
Yeah. But a big game that did come out this week.
Developed by From Software?
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Wow. I wanted to see a screenshot. Just one.
I mean, it'll look like an Armored Core game in a screenshot. And I remember trying to get into it, but I just could not get myself there. Boy, did I try. Trying to make a masturbation joke somehow, but it's not working. Prey came out this week, 10 years ago.
Prey is really good,
and is known for having one of the longest and most, convoluted development processes. Developed by Human Head. The wiki sums it up really well. Developed by Human Head, under contract from 3D Realms, published by 2K. And the 360 version was ported by Venom Games. So it's just all these cooks in the kitchen for a game that took 10 years. Wow. Basically from 95 on, various degrees. Like Duke Nukem Forever. I mean, it's a 3D Realms thing of we're going to make most of a game and then stop and then finish it. I think KMFDM was attached to this at one point to do music for it, and then they weren't. And then now it has one of the best game openings of the day. Where
Don't Fear the Reaper,
Blue Oyster Cult is playing as a UFO rips the top off of a bar.
Yeah.
Oh. It's really cool, especially back then. This is one of those first this generation of games. I almost find it that's the stamp you can put on mid-2000s games, is this needlessly cinematic opening where everyone's trying to up what happened before.
You're talking to your fellow Native Americans on a reservation in a bar, and the roof literally gets ripped off in the middle of Blue Oyster Cult, and an alien ship comes and sucks everybody up. And you first person... I remember it's probably better than it is, but it was super compelling and had the portal technique before the...
A lot of cool like it's a first person shooter more or less, but it has a lot of you're an alien technology, so you end up walking on the walls and the ceilings and your perspective gets messed with, and you get shrunken and grown big and the perspective changes, and it's a very ambitious, clever game. Just stuff like BioShock and Quake 4 and all these games trying to do things that shock you in first person, and wow, you got to see the, and you'd go to an E3 demo and all they show you is this thing that's like, you basically just showed me a movie. Like, what is the game fun or not, man? And this is kind of the beginning of that for me, where it's like, this was cool. This is cool literally once. Mm. And now that I've just described it to you, you probably you probably imagined it cooler than it is. Mm. And now you're going to play it and be like, oh, that is pretty cool, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
I want to say it holds up pretty decently. I hope it doesn't so. Dwell on a lot of its cutscenes.
Sure, yeah. And it was really fun. But
and,
this is...
And it's yeah. starting the ridiculously hard development cycle again.
Yeah.
I was yes. in a weird pitch meeting for Prey 2 like 5 years ago. Yeah. I'm looking, it says it was announced in 2006.
Yep,
it might come out next year.
And its sequel is not even Prey 2.
It's just called
Prey again because it's been that long. They just rebooted it.
But it's published by Bethesda, and mm-hmm. they got Doom out with id, so like they are scooping up a lot of these things that normally take decades to come out. So.
Being made by the Dishonored team, so... Like,
oh, nice.
Be good. Great.
Dishonored was really good. So those are the two big video game things this week. Mm-hmm. That brings us to the end of the show. Mm. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find out more at lasertimepodcast.com, or you can go to wondery.com/30-20-10 for
Why
really...
Not any dashes anymore.
Oh, well, Google something. But it's a cool page for, like, you know, a bunch of individual players for all the episodes if you're at your desktop and you aren't on your phone listening to the podcast files themselves. But also youtube.com/lasertimenetwork, where you can find a lot of fun videos that we make. About various things, like whether it's Marvel trading cards or wrestling ideas or fun Disney shit with Chris.
Yay.
I don't know. We've been playing through all of Kingdom Hearts and it sucks. It's not...
I had to say recently, I love it warts and all. There's still like, sure, there's still fans who are like, you're not doing it right. I'm like, no, this game is terrible and like it doesn't age well. But I still love it and I'm more than happy to slog through it.
Yeah, I'm mostly just being humorous.
Yeah.
Like, it is still fun to revisit, but it is like, do you care if we're not switching the keyblades? Because
we were talking over the prompts, cool Disney trivia, and for a while our heads were obscuring a lot of button prompts that we did not see. Now you know. Now you know. Yes, you're better at Kingdom Hearts, which is like worth less than a Weeblos merit badge.
<It's>... What else should they listen to?
Well, probably Laser Time. I had some way earlier to relate to, with one of the show's topics this year, but now I don't. Man, what was a cool episode recently?
The press conference one was good.
We took a walk through the toy aisle. And,
yeah, that's. I'm really proud of that one, just because like I was super bummed out and just ended up in a Target toy aisle and made like a really long list of things for the website and the podcast. But who is the oldest character on the toy aisle?
If you watch a lot of Wayne's Brothers movies, you might like our 420 episode, which is all about. Yeah, sticky icky.
I will suggest if for somehow you want to hear more talking about Toys R Us songs, there's a whole Age of Time where I subject you to the Wiggles and songs about brushing your teeth and tying your shoes. And I think it's called True Tunes, TRU, Lazy Time.
T-R-U.
Check that out.
And yeah, this show was funded by Patreon, patreon.com/lasertime. We have a ton of movie commentaries up there. We also do a weekly bonus show, Bonus Time, where we talk about current pop culture that we're consuming.
Yeah, for the low cost of $5, we're trying to give you guys as much as you can because, thankfully enough, people have joined to help us not starve.
Yeah.
And
yay.
A little more than that, it'd be nice to make a better living, but who knows? So support us if you'd like. It would be appreciated.
Oh, it's called Toys R Us Kids Music is the name of the episode.
Ah. Nice and direct and to the point.
Got to hit that SEO on the Toys R Us kids music.
Published on April 1st, 2014.
Yeah, it was not a joke.
And if you like the video game talk, there's Video Game Apocalypse, which is a podcast entirely about the video game stuff. Notice how I get quiet when they talk about video games? Because I don't know shit about video games. But, I realized...
Did you hear the semi-recent porn discussion?
I did, though.
Yeah, that was
that
fun.
That was a lot of fun. Well, I was also...
You probably know too much about me now.
Yeah, well, I was also up front and center when all of a sudden I hear laughter coming from the office. And I'm like, hey, hon, what's going on? And find out my
Michael
husband
mentioned...
is just sitting there watching porn and laughing hysterically. And I'm like, what?
Wow.
And it's because he discovered porn for the deaf.
Yes, porn for the deaf. It is narrated. It's wonderful.
It is narrated and describing what is happening.
Oh,
and
boy.
And that made it so much better. Or, sorry.
Porn for the blind.
I was like, why are they narrating?
Porn for the blind.
China opens the door.
That brings us to
birthday. The
final segment of the show, birthdays. Woo! This week, this is July 8th to the 14th. Jaden Smith.
Oh,
that is all.
No.
Kevin Bacon. Toby Keith, Beck, Pendleton Ward, Tom Hanks, Courtney Love, Fred Savage, Kevin Nash, Nikola Tesla, Jessica Simpson, Lil' Kim.
If they had the same birthday, I would have to
They
leave.
Might. They might.
I'm just walking
I'd do them
now.
In order.
I like they just said Kevin Nash and Nikola Tesla back to back. Probably for the only time in history.
Lil' Kim, Yul Brynner, Brock Lesnar, Richard Simmons, George Washington Carver.
Is Richard Simmons still alive? I know we've had that weird scare this year.
It didn't have a death date, so... Harrison Ford, Tom Kenny, Patrick Stewart, Cheech Marin, Conor McGregor, Matthew Fox, R.I.P.
At the end of Lost. Sorry, spoilers, guys.
And Jane Lynch.
Okay.
The Quiz, born 1978. Dated Ivanka Trump 10 years ago, actually, in 2006.
Not Donald Trump. It's way too young.
Did not date...
Donald Trump's son?
Not Donald Trump. Grew up with Kate Bosworth.
What?
Had a small role that I didn't remember at all in Interstellar.
Interstellar.
Was in a very popular TV show about a specific decade.
Topher Grace?
Yes.
Topher Grace.
I did not know this.
Yeah.
Did not know this.
Topher Grace was born sometime...
I really,
now he's doing question mark question mark.
I just he's actually editing his own films. As far as
I
remember.
Yeah.
Editing the prequels into watchable movies.
Wow.
A valiant effort, doing the Lord's work.
And we're gonna go out with we mentioned when we came in 2006 the Third Eye Blind compilation. I'm going out with How's It Gonna Be?
Because
Dave and I fucking kill it.
Yeah.
In karaoke.
When you don't know me.
Oh man, it's so good. That drunk white guy harmonizing. We absolutely nailed it. All right, we'll be back next week with more of what happened. Hopefully, more content of what happened. Actually, next week's 86 movie
we got
huge,
some good shit.
Huge. We'll see you next week.